Andrew, you've been around Jack Johnson a little bit. You know the story. What was your reaction when you saw what had come out regarding his finances?
Pretty sad. I played with Jack for 2 years in Michigan. Lived with him. Me and four of the guys lived with each other. It was, pretty unfortunate to read about, to be honest. Just because, it's your family and, your family, and I know my family, are people that I trust and, with everything I have. And so that was, to wake up in the morning and read at breakfast and to know the person and to know the guy was pretty sad. And, like I said, I was in Michigan for 2 years with him and Jack's parents live with him. They lived in Michigan as well. And, they'd have us over for the odd Sunday to, have dinner or have food. And, so I don't know, you can't obviously foretell the future at that point, but, when we were in Michigan, I was pretty close with Jack because I live with him.
I'm just curiosity on that one, Andrew. I understand that, he didn't talk about it to Aaron Portsline. He did a tremendous story on it. And I understand that he's really kind of gone dark. He hasn't talked to a lot of people about it. He really doesn't discuss it a lot. Just out of curiosity, have you been able to reach out to him and, try to help him deal with this particular situation?
No, I haven't. We talk and when we play each other, but I don't think I'm in a position to talk to him about that. I think obviously this is a pretty personal matter, but no, I haven't been able to talk to him with any of this. I don't think anyone really knew, including myself.
I don't know if you heard this session. We'll move on to some hockey issues, but just to finish this one off, Andrew, I don't know if you heard Elliot was talking about Brian Berard, who now counsels players on how to deal with their money issues. And I think it's easy for fans to say, they're making millions of dollars. It must be easy, but it's not necessarily that easy. And I mean, do you have a philosophy on how you approach it to make sure you don't to end up losing all the money that you've earned by playing in the National Hockey League?
Yeah. You know what? I'm from pretty, hardworking family. And when I was growing up, like a lot of players in the league, you're not used to making, that kind of money and being in this position. So, for myself, what I look at is it as my career, to basically just save my money. I do what I need to do in terms of buying my property and places to live, obviously, and to have a car and so on and so forth. But other than that, with my money, my main goal is to save as much as I possibly can because you don't know how long your career actually is. Obviously, you have contracts and so on and so forth. But at the end of the day, nothing is totally, guaranteed. So, for myself, I think I've surrounded myself with the right people and I just, in my eyes, in my philosophy, I just do the basic things for myself that, makes my money in the right places and doing the right things and go from there. But, I think, like I said, you're not used to making that type of money, especially when you're younger. And with my family, we obviously, like a lot of other guys in the league, it's a lot of money and you have to do the right things with it.
When you were in Edmonton, Andrew Cogliano is with us on Hockey Central at noon. When you were at Edmonton, it was about making the playoffs and then try and do whatever you can with it. Much different in Anaheim. Does that seep into your head very much, or is it a game-by-game situation?
I think, I've gone from probably extreme to extreme in terms of being from Edmonton to Anaheim. And in Anaheim, the standard is you have to win. That's just the bottom line. Every time we play, we expect to win. I'm not saying that's not what it was in Edmonton. But the years I was there, you sometimes went into games and you really knew you weren't going to win. But in Anaheim, it's completely different. I feel like you know, the organization is at such a high level that you really have no time to feel comfortable. And we have a leadership group, you know, with Getsy, Pairs, and guys like that, and Bruce. We just, you know, it's just that attitude of every game we want to win, and that's the bottom line. So, especially with Bruce, you know, with Bruce being there, you know, as a coach, he's such a winner, and he's so emotional in terms of winning and doing things the right way that, as players, and especially for myself, you really have no choice but to do the right things.
Is Corey Perry's nickname really Pears? That's what I took out of that answer.
It's Worm.
It's Worm?
Worm?
Pretty much sums him up.
Awesome.
Oh, that is outstanding.
You wish you'd had that before your 30 thoughts today,
right,
don't you?
I do. I could have gone to bed 15 minutes earlier. Wow.
Worm.
Who gave him that one?
I don't know. I think it was here when I was here, but maybe Getsy did. But you know, it pretty much sums him up how he plays, and you know, when he finds a way to make things happen with there. And even though he's big, he's
How long do you walk around? And I wonder. I'm curious on Corey Perry's side of it. When do you accept that as your nickname, and as it being a pseudo compliment? When you turn that corner,
I don't know. You know, that guy—he's something else. But you know, I think he's obviously just taking it on, and that's—we know that's the nickname in our room now.
I'm curious, Andrew. Yesterday, you guys make a trade. You add Renee Borg for Brian Allen, and Bob Murray pointedly on the conference call comes out and says, "I'm doing this because I don't like the way our forwards are playing." As a forward, how do you take that?
As a challenge. You know, and I think, you know, at the end of the day, I think it just points to, you know, the team and the organization, where I think it's first place in the conference and second in the league, and things aren't maybe going as we planned. And I think that's just, like I said earlier, that just shows, you know, the standard of the team and the organization. But yeah, you know, for myself, it's a challenge. As one of the forwards, obviously, obviously you need to take it as one of those guys that maybe isn't playing up to the level that he wants us to. And you know, we have a lot of forwards and good forwards already, and you bring in another guy, another good player, played against Bork for when he was in Calgary, and he was really, really good. So I think my personality, and I know a bunch of other guys are the same way, we're taking it as a challenge and taking it as an opportunity as healthy competition. You know, at the end of the day, we all want to play, and we all want to be in a lot of situations on the ice. And for myself, I know that's how I'm taking it.
Last night, you guys went to Vancouver, 1-4-3 in a shootout. Ryan Kessler's return to Vancouver. It was certainly hyped as a big event for him going back there, and as a big emotional event. What was your perception of that game and Kessler's approach and your team's approach?
Yeah, I think, you know, I actually expect them to do a little more for him, but obviously, you know, how things ended there probably wasn't the best way, but he was a good player there for a long time, and I played against him in Edmonton, and he was one of the guys that made that team go for a long time there, and he put a lot of heart and soul in their organization. But, you know, it seemed like things were very hyped in the day and the day before with the media and so on and so forth, but once the game came, it kind of things settled down. And I think it was tough for Kess to play. I don't think it was an easy game for him to play because, you know, he's been there for so long, and I'm pretty sure he had different things going on in his head and different emotions. But, you know, for our team, we needed a win. We've been going to overtime and going to shootouts for the last, I don't even know, 7 or 8 games, and we just needed 2 points. So, you know, the last 2 games, we've been playing great hockey for stretches of the game, and then it seems like we have a 20-minute lapse where, you know, things don't go well, and we kind of lose our focus, and that's what's been happening the last 2 games. But it was huge to get the 2 points, especially, you know, we got in later, really late tonight, and have a day off today. So,
2 quick one-timers before we let you go. if somebody had to dress as the backup goaltender, Rolison's not around, which skater would it be?
Probably throw Pat Maroon in there. He's a pretty big body.
and this is an emotional weekend around the National Hockey League because they're going to get rid of the dry scrape.
Yeah.
Between regulation and overtime.
You can ask him his memories.
How will you remember the dry scrape era in the NHL?
Oh, you know what? It's pretty painful, to be honest. You know what? I have a short attention span as it is. And, you know, I caught myself yesterday looking up in the stands for the full 5 minutes. It's just, you lose a little bit edge of the game. It is what it is. I don't think it makes the ice that much better, which is the point. I don't know. So you're sitting there for 5 minutes and you're staring up in the stands and you kind of lose that feeling of the game a bit. So I'm happy they're kind of taking it out.
Now, you know, and as one of the league's great skaters, I'm thinking all the talk about going overtime to 3-on-3 as a possibility, maybe as early as next season. I'm thinking that's something that Andrew Cogliano's going to say, oh, yeah, giddy up. I'd be up for that. Would that be something you'd like to do?
That'd be great for me. I got to talk to Bruce. Hopefully I get out there. But, if it goes 3-on-3, I'll be a happy camper. That'd be a lot of ice. 4-on-4, sometimes you feel like there's way more ice out there, and especially when guys get tired, it makes a huge difference. So 3-on-3 would be awesome.